Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man. Dukes and Bell rolling into hour number two. Coach Dooley is going to join us here in just a bit, about 3:40, brought to you by our buddies at Kroger, getting ready for Kentucky. And again, an undefeated Kentucky Wildcats team, which is bringing its own sort of set of issues. We're going to talk to a young lady that covers the Wildcats as well, coming up at the four. So got a big shoe for you. And I told you, Carl, I got my tickets, and I kind of just lucked into it. So, man, I'm stoked. I was just looking back. Last Georgia game I went to was actually at Bobby Dodd in 2019 when Georgia smoked Georgia Tech on the road, but it always feels like a bit of a home game at Bobby Dodd. But yeah, man, so it's been a minute. Didn't get to see him last year in person.
Yeah, I listen, when they're good, and they have been the last, what, 5 or 6 years here, and, you know, these rides, these roller coaster rides that you go on as a fan, when you go to these games, I always like going away games. We didn't get a chance to go last year either, obviously pandemic, but we try to pick a couple of games to go away because it's fun to tailgate with other folks and see what these stadiums are about. But it's going to be electric in Athens just because of the fact that they're number one. And, you know, you can say some guys are trying to downplay. It's not a big deal. It's a big deal. Embrace it. And I think that's what Kirby's going to say, Mike. Embrace it. We are considered to be the best team in the country. It doesn't mean anything because we're not at the finish line.
Right.
But it also means we are finally being looked at and respected in a way that hasn't happened in a very long time at Georgia. And you think about all the great players that have come through Georgia, and you're telling me you got to go back to the 80s? The last time they were number one during the season?
Right. Well, I mean, it goes back to what, you know, the great debate was. And, you know, it started, I got here after, you know, Jim Donnan had worn out his welcome and they were about ready to move on to Mark Richt. But, you know, Donnan, I mean, you go back, as far as just, Carl, just strictly on the defensive side, they had some unbelievable names. The Bailey brothers came through, Stroud and Seymour, Kendrell Bell. They had all these guys. That, I mean, there was a year, I think it was Gary Gibbs came in. I believe he was only here 1 year. I think we joked around about it with Coach Dooley last time he was on with us. But the entire defense went in the NFL draft, like in the first three or four rounds. And you're like, how are you not winning championships with that? And unfortunately, there was a guy named Spurrier down in Florida who had something to say about it. And that just Georgia just was not getting the most out of the program. Mark Richt, you know, obviously took it to another level. And now Kirby here has got, as we always say, more resources and everything else. But he's making it count. The recruiting class for this next season is going to be unbelievable for Georgia. And you're seeing why they are the number one team in the country right now.
It's my dad's side of the family's from Georgia. So, you know, we always would talk about this, and every time we came, it's been the same thing. They're loaded. How many years have you heard right. that about Georgia? They're loaded. They got this great player. They got that great player. But it never translated into not only one, but multiple national championships. And so that's what's got to change. I don't think that, you know, you talk about where LSU has been, right? They got a couple now. They got one with Saban back in, you know, the early 2000s. Now they won one with Ogeron. He's not going to last, though. But the fact is, it's never been about the players who have gone there. They've always had talent every year. They're loaded. It's about putting it together and then consistency. That's the difference between Alabama and everybody else. There are plenty of programs that got players. But how do you put it together, Mike, and then how do you stay consistent? And I think now the pressure's on Kirby to do this. We've said, you've got to get there. Okay, he's been there. Now you got to go win one. Well, what happens when he wins one? Well, he's right. got to go win another one.
Well, if he wins one, I just think it's going to be a breakthrough that's going to be the floodgates. As good as things are, I think it gets even that exponentially better the way it has for Saban with Alabama. Look, Alabama is going to fix some of the things that are wrong right now, and they're going to be
They're still in the mix.
I mean, they're a different team, and Kirby, until you beat them, obviously, look, and you almost wish that, wow, you know, Jimbo beat you to it, you know, to be the first assistant to beat Nick Saban. But to me, Carl, this team, this is a year where so many things, I'm not saying the stars are aligned, because 2012, you know, obviously it was a year that Mark Richt had a team. Whoever won that SEC championship game was going to go and do great things, and they would have smoked Notre Dame the same way. Didn't get it done. And then if you go back to, you know, the 17-18 season, you know, certainly Kirby, Carl, a young coach is 2 years as a head coach. What does Kirby learn from things like, you know, from experiences like that? That'll be different when he has the bigger games to coach this time around. Just something to think about.
It is. It is. And here's the other part. You know, I don't assume or will I expect Georgia to go into that SEC championship game losing. And by the way, it's okay, dog fans. We can talk this way. We've got a good team. So don't, oh, we should be talking about that. You've got a good team. They got to handle business. But, Mike,
you're number one in the country. We're supposed to sneak around now?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Come on.
It's okay to talk about it. But I was going to say, you know, going into that game, if Georgia is still undefeated, I still think they get in even if they lose. That's where I think that's why you have to win out. You have to win out so there's no doubt that even if you got to that game and they play a one-loss Alabama team who lost on the road in a great game, the committee goes, doesn't matter. They're both in. Right. And I think that could still happen. I know the Big Ten, we talked about this yesterday, is in a great spot. They got three undefeated teams right now, and I think three other teams ranked in the top 15 or 20. But they're going to cannibalize each other. At some point, that's going to shake out, and it will all settle out as well.
But that's why the Clemson game had to be won, and regardless of what Clemson has done. Now, look, it would be nice for Georgia if Clemson could run the table the rest of the way and, you know, reestablish themselves in the ACC. But, you know, I think Georgia at the time, I think you go with what you know at the time. At the time, it was a monster game, and Clemson's defense certainly was whatever their offense was, and Clemson's defense was in that game. But, yeah, they've been devalued a little bit, but that's why you just laid it out there. With the rest of this schedule, though, now you got to rank – Kentucky team, right? You know, top 15 Kentucky team. Played another ranked team in Arkansas, you know, so Auburn was ranked. These are all resume builders, but yeah, you can sustain, heaven forbid, let's not even go down this road, a loss in December and still be in the playoff.
Yeah, I don't expect it, but that's the position you're putting yourself in if you were to have some kind of letdown. Or let's just say you lose on a last-second field goal to Alabama. Georgia's still good enough to get in. So that's where I'm at, man. Plenty more on the dogs coming up. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk to Anna Marie Tarullo as she's a part of Big Blue tonight, which is, you know, the pregame, postgame stuff for Kentucky. We'll find out what's going on there. Their running back is fired up. He's upset, I guess, because Georgia didn't recruit him as hard as he expected. So, Mike, he wants vengeance coming up Saturday. We'll talk more about it. Vince Dooley is on the way.
Has he seen Georgia's defense?
Well, you know what? He's going to meet him firsthand. He'll meet him face-to-face on Saturday. Hey, man, let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
You know, when those kind of things play out, you can be all amped up, but if you're not blocking up front, and we're talking about Kentucky's running back, if they're not blocking up front, and he's getting stopped 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, being upset and all that stuff really just doesn't matter. I'm talking about Chris Rodriguez
Jr. He's from McDonough, yeah.
And so that's, you know, something that's going to play out Saturday. But if he has a big game, he's got motivation because he felt like, hey, they should have recruited me harder. Either way, whatever gets you going. Let's talk about the NFL, guys. NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Now, the fallouts for John Gruden means that guys he worked with and guys he trusted now have to answer the questions that Gruden is not answering. And that is a guy named Mike Mayock. Mike is the general manager with the Raiders. He had a long press conference yesterday. I thought he did a great job. If you didn't see any of this, you can go check it out. I thought he did a great job of answering pretty much all the questions. Meanwhile, Mark Davis, Mike, he didn't speak on Wednesday. So here is Mike Mayock talking about the situation.
I've touched base with as many of the guys as I could over the last several days. We talked with the players. The captain spoke up at the team meeting to a certain extent. The common denominator from the players has been focus and professionalism.
Yeah, we heard that DeCarl Nassib wanted to have a day off, kind of get his head around everything that had gone down there. But Mike Mack goes on to talk, Carl, about talking about with African-American players, talking about everybody on the team and kind of, you know, getting some feedback, I guess, kind of clearing the air as best you can.
Yeah, I mean, I get him wanting a personal day because I was telling a buddy of mine, basically you had a coach tell you to your face, no, I'm cool with you. And then behind his back, you really now know how he felt about you and you know, what you are. And that hurts. So I get it, man. And, you know, as far as how other guys are going to perceive and move forward, I thought Carr did a good job saying, listen, we still got to go play. You know, I love John Gruden as a person. He said, he, you know, the act itself, I don't like the sin, I think is the words he used, but you know, he treated me good. I can't say anything bad about him. And I think that's where you get, Mike, these mixed comments where he may have treated a bunch of guys well, but how do you dismiss all of this? You can't.
No. And again, we've talked about this, you know, going all the way back to when, you know, Nassib went and came out publicly. A courageous thing to do for a guy who's actually, you know, it's always been fringe players, right? In any sport, when somebody comes out as gay and professional sports in America, it's never really a superstar. Not that, I mean, Nassib's not a household name, but he's, you know, he's a starter in the league. I mean, it's like it's a macho alpha male culture, and I know that we wish and you want to be politically correct and hope that everybody is enlightened as they should be, but there's still a lot of folks who don't vibe it or get their head around it. And John Gruden wasn't any different than a lot of people, just this thing got public. I mean, that's I hope that's not a newsflash for some people out there, but it's obviously it's on a guy who's supposed to know better because he's a leader of men as a head football coach.
Yeah, and when you're also promoting falsely that, you know, the NFL needs to be ahead of this. They should allow gay players in the league. Okay. Right. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's talk about Tom Brady. He's playing tonight. He's got an injury. Matter of fact, I think it's his finger or thumb. I'm not quite sure. He talked about the injury.
Obviously, a little bit sore after. Anytime you hit it on someone or a helmet or whatever, you know, your hand can become pretty vulnerable. So I broke my ring finger on my right hand. I tore ligaments on my middle finger. Tore ligaments in my pointer finger, ripped my thumb almost apart one Jeez. Time. So this is just, you know, hopefully something I could work through here pretty quickly. It's a little bit sore, but nothing I'm not used to. I've certainly had worse.
Surprised you didn't have like a, you know, robot hand like Luke Skywalker, Carl.
where he grips the
a lot of wear and tear on his digits right there. You know, Chris, what's the movie Zoolander when you had the hand model? He had the hand encased in glass. Maybe that's what Brady should be doing. I don't know.
Or the episode of Seinfeld when George becomes a hand model. And burns it.
That's true. So yeah, I mean, I think they're going to beat the Eagles and cover the spread. To be quite honest with you, tonight
I do too. What is it, 7 or 8?
It was 7.5, but now okay. You ask, I'm going to tell you right now.
All right, just curious. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think they do, too. Yeah. I do think the Eagles score, but I don't think they ultimately win.
Yeah, it is. Actually, it's right at 7. It was 6.5. Okay. It's 7 right now. It's in Philadelphia, by the way. Tampa is the road team.
Are you guys interested in this for one of your games for the week? It sounds like one of you might be suing on it.
I am suing on it. Let me marinate on this. Wait. I get till 6:45. We got Hawks tonight, right?
Yes, we do.
6:30.
I might, Chris. That's a good point. I might. But I'm not. I don't know if I'll take the 7. I may do something else with that game. All right, guys. Kyler Murray limited as
okay, Mr. Over.
Yes. As he battles shoulder injuries, or a shoulder injury, should I say. This happened apparently in last Sunday, 17-10 win over the 49ers. I know we've been talking a lot about, you know, Lamar Jackson. Kyler Murray's having a great season, too. But his right arm has been getting attention from members of the training staff during the game, and then after the game we realized he did have, you know, maybe some soreness or something, Mike, so he's trying to fight through that. I think he'll be fine, to be quite honest with you, but, you know, it may be something that if he takes another hit or gets, you know, sacked,
right,
might be something to look out for Kyler Murray.
By the way, while you got me thinking about gambling, both the Buccaneers and the Eagles, I should say, are 2-3, Carl, against the spread.
Mm.
So not exactly, you know,
great
reinforcing your love for this game either way, one or the other.
Yeah.
Bucks are going over a lot, though.
Yep. That's what I would bet.
All right. Let me get back to you on this.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. They were a lock for Chris as they smoked Miami last week at home. That was in Tampa Bay, though.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to win. Put up 45 again. I just, you know, we'll see. Thank you, Chris, for letting us ponder this.
Just thinking out loud. Hey, Juju Smith-Schuster, done for the season, and admitting, talking to the media, that he loves football so much, he literally said he cried all night. Said did an interview, he was addressing a crowd at an event for his charity foundation up in Pittsburgh, and he said, I sat there and I cried. I cried all night because I love this game. Said, you never know how many seasons you're going to have, so you can't argue with that. So, he said he's playing on a one-year contract. It's unknown whether he's going to return to the Steelers, by the way. This is from Pro Football Talk in 2022. The numbers were good the year after Antonio Brown left, but, you know, you begin to wonder who's emerging as the bigger star. Is Claypool the bigger option when Roethlisberger's got targets, or Deontay Johnson?
Yeah, I know, man. I want to buy the Steelers, Mike. I'm having a hard time with that division, with the Ravens, right. Browns, and I just, you know, Cincinnati, say what you want. They're right there, too. I want to buy the Steelers, but I'm having a hard time this year. Real quick, Sean Taylor, guys. murdered in November of 2007.
Home invasion at his place down in Florida, yeah.
Yeah, no one has worn the number 21 for what was then the Redskins, now the Washington football team. And then they announced that they are going to retire the number. So no one will ever wear it again. And Mike, I don't know, this is a long time coming, I think. You know, probably a lot of people have talked about this. But Sean Taylor, for those who don't remember, just a great player, man. Was an amazing player.
I mean, for those who saw him in Miami, and he was going to be, I mean, he was on track to have the kind of career, Carl, where he could have been, you know, a guy that would be getting talk about him getting a gold jacket. Unbelievably, he was voted to his second Pro Bowl posthumously in 2017. That's how much love and respect that he had. So a very classy move. Unfortunately, it's kind of clouded by all the crap that's surrounding the Washington football team these days, isn't it?
You're right. Yeah, unfortunately. Hey, coming up, Kirby talks about Kentucky and also about the physicality of the Wildcats. You'll hear it coming up on Dukes and Bell.
He will go to the air to start this one and dial up the deep ball. McConkey is open, and McConkey is gone. Touchdown, Georgia. The mailman delivers. And
he's been delivering ever since being called upon. We're talking about Stetson Bennett. It's Dukes and Bell. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll let you hear Kirby and his thoughts on Kentucky and the physicality of Kentucky. But I do want to remind you guys that, hey, it's time to get on this, man. 2021 Rocket Mortgage Pro Football Pick'em. And you can go and sign up, guys. It's easy. No point spreads, no lineups. All you need to do is text PICKS, P-I-C-K-S, to 20357. Pick the winners of each week's games. Tonight starts another week, and you can win $1,000. So make sure you go there. It's a Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. Mike, these are the two best defenses in the SEC. Two unbeatens. Georgia's better, obviously. They're only giving up about 6 points a game and about 200 yards a game. And then you look at Kentucky, giving up about 17 points a game and about 300 yards per game. So, obviously, Kentucky is more vulnerable when you talk about what they've done. But then you look at Georgia and how dominant they've been. 3 points against Clemson given up. 7 against UAB. 13 against South Carolina. And even those were questionable how those played out. But you didn't let Vandy score or Arkansas in back-to-back weeks. And then you only give up 10 against Auburn. There's no doubt that Georgia is considered to be the better defense. But Kentucky comes in here pretty stout as well. And Kirby talked about it and his assessment of this Kentucky football team.
The strike blockers, they're similar to us defensively in the front mechanics they play and how they play blockers. So they've always been really great at stopping the run and running the ball. The added dimension now is the quarterback with the vertical passing game. Weapons they have outside obviously are different, and the backs are just so – they run so physical and so downhill.
I mean, they get after it just like Georgia does. I mean, it's what Georgia has, but – not as many 4 and 5 stars, right, Carl? And the depth.
No.
As far as the defensive philosophy, what they're trying to do up there with Kentucky compared to what Georgia does.
Yeah, I just, from a talent standpoint, they're good. I think this is why most people will say the Dogs should win and probably will, is it just comes back down to they've got a little bit more talent than Kentucky. Kentucky's a really good team. When you're good and fundamentally sound, Mike, you don't beat yourself, you're going to win a lot of games. When you're good, fundamentally sound, and talented, you win national championships. That's the difference between Georgia right now and Kentucky. Kentucky's a really good team. I just don't think they're as talented as Georgia, and therefore that might be the difference. Kirby was also talking, Mike, real quick about defenses changing. You guys remember when we played Arkansas a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about they were going to play 3-down linemen. They had like six defensive backs, and they weren't going to let Georgia do what Georgia did against Auburn, which was go over the top and make the big play. And Kirby was saying a lot of defenses are now adapting to this because of the explosiveness of these offenses. But, Mike, you give up something. You give up running game. If your team has a running game, you're going to give that up trying to play 3 defensive linemen against a stout offensive line, which is what Georgia has.
Right. And another thing about Georgia, you just mentioned, you know, the depth, the year after year after top 5 and top 3 and then, you know, top 2 recruiting classes paying off. Seth Emerson had this little factoid, Carl, from The Athletic that 18 different Georgia players have at least one sack. 12 different players have recorded at least one full sack. And according to Seth, that's the most on any Power 5 team in the country, second most in FBS. Wow. So just 6 games in, and it's already more than Georgia had all of last season. It was 11 players had a sack. So basically, everybody can make a big play on defense, and everybody at every level, the backups from any part of the field can come and get you, basically what I get from that stat.
I do too. I mean, the deal is, you know, usually you have one or two guys you need to get blocked. And then basically what he's saying is, make sure we block everybody.
Everybody. It's like, you know, like you and I said it, remember earlier this year, like N'Kobe Dean, we know we knew Jordan Davis was going to be like the Kool-Aid man out there, and he really has. But N'Kobe Dean, midseason, they're what, all, I think they're all Americans. These guys are just making plays. And I mean, this year is also, as far as, like, I think guys already know what Georgia's brand is. But I mean, even further evidence will be how many Georgia Bulldogs get drafted, you know, high in the NFL draft from this defense. I mean, it's just, there's stars everywhere and more stars emerging. And we're only halfway through the season. So, but nobody can, and that's why I'm like, I'm saying Kentucky is good, but just Georgia is just playing better, especially on defense.
Yeah. Best thing anyone got slighted, by the way, talking about those midseason All-Americans, were there any offensive? You would think the number one team in the nation would have at least one midseason All-American, right, on offense?
Some of its parts, there is no superstar, and I think you've seen that with the way that they've split the carries up with the running backs. You know, Zamir White, we talked about, is getting majority of the carries, but you look at the numbers, Milton's got his carries, there's a bunch of guys that are toting the rock, and then from a receiving standpoint, is there a standout? There isn't. So I don't think it's a disrespect thing. I just think that the Georgia offense is operating in a way that it's good and it's working and you're scoring points, but there's not one or two dominant players where you go, he's the best in his position in the country.
I know that, I mean, I tell you what, though, Jordan, if we stay with a 3-4 with the Falcons, tell me Jordan Davis would look good in a Falcon uniform.
He would. I told you somebody sent me that picture with him, and it was like Photoshop. But he is a monster, Mike, of a man. I mean, he is so big. And I think it was Connor Riley who said, teams just cannot run in there. And they're double-teaming him, guys. It's not like he's one-on-one. They're double and triple-teaming this guy sometimes, and he's still holding guys off.
So this year, Georgia's defense, like I said, is just lights out. We had the conversation yesterday with, and we'll talk more about it coming up here with Coach Dooley. Can you? And I don't look. You know, Coach Dooley's going to go to bat for Stetson Bennett because he loves a guy like that. That's, you know, that's the heart and soul of a program. A guy that, you know, is a good soldier. You said yesterday about what's going to happen in Oklahoma. You know, are we going to see a guy like? And by the way, I have no idea what's going to happen if somebody's going to leave that program or someone's going to get their feelings in a bunch. But Bennett has been, you know, the consummate pro. It's the offense. Let's be honest, Carl. I thought this was the year we were never going to be ever mentioning the quarterback situation, right? Everything else is working, even with injuries on offensive line. It's a different offensive line. It's still physical, slightly different in some of the philosophy compared to Sam Pittman, but it's still an elite offensive line. You still got the great weapons. You're getting more weapons on the as far as the skill positions in the tight ends we saw and that wide receivers. But it's still, for you and me, the only question mark is, can Stetson Bennett keep doing this all season long, right?
Yeah, and that's a big question. I mean, it is. You would think if he gets past this game unscathed, meaning, you know, no picks, continues to not make mistakes, you got to feel good about going into the break and then heading, you know,
against
Florida.
Let me ask you this. When do you think JT Daniels gets back on the field? And do you think, two-part question, do you think if Bennett keeps on trucking and Daniels, do you think that they will slow roll Daniels' return?
There's no reason not to. I asked dog fans this, and I keep getting this from hardcore dog fans and then fringe fans. Everybody thinks Daniels is better. So do I.
I think everyone does. If sir, in the pocket, for instance, the throw to McConkey. McConkey would have caught that ball in stride. Got to wait a little bit for Stetson to get it there, but he still made the perfect play, right? We're talking semantics as far as, I mean, yeah, he's got an elite-level arm that Stetson's just not that level, but Stetson can also move around and got more mobility in the pocket than JT Daniels does. I'm not trying to have, like, I've got amnesia about JT Daniels, but wouldn't you agree that Stetson's a more mobile and more effective running the ball?
So I think most people think he's the better quarterback, just overall, just generally speaking. The problem is the better overall quarterback doesn't mean that you're going to win with him the way you're winning now. You assume that he's going to step in there, and because we feel like the talent is better, that things are just going to click. Well, why change, to answer your question?
Right.
I mean, that's all I'm asking. I mean, I want the Dogs to win however and whatever it takes, okay? And I think, you know, we've seen this with teams over the course of the last 10 years, whether it was Ohio State going to three quarterbacks and getting it done, whether it was the change against Georgia and Alabama to go from Jalen to Tua. Mm-hmm. You do whatever it takes. But you can't tell me 100% that things are going to be that much better if JT is playing right now over what we're getting from Stetson Bennett. Nobody can tell us that. And so if I'm Kirby, yeah, to answer your question, why not, Mike? If he's not 100%, if he's 90, if he's 80, why wouldn't I slow roll it if my team is winning?
Right. Now, a lot of guys feel that the recent history with Kentucky and how they've gotten better and better under Mark Stoops. I got to be honest. I think I'm going to roll with this. I mean, Chris, you can lock me in right now. So, Chris, by the way, what is the rule on that? Can I lock in at 21.5 before it goes up? Because I really do like Georgia this way. Chris,
of course you can.
As they say in Glengarry Glen Ross, one of our favorite movies, put me on the Cadillac board, okay? Chris, lock me in there, bookie, at minus 21.5. George, I'm taking the Bulldogs over the Wildcats.
I will because I got burned last weekend with the Michigan game because it went down to 2.5, but I locked it in at 3.
Right. Hold on. Is it 20 or 20? What is it?
I'm going to say, let me go back. Hold on.
I'm looking at my guy. Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on. By the way, did I tell you my bookie retired, by the way, in Buckhead?
Well, that's what bookies do.
Well, I mean, well, he was. I don't want to put his business out there unless the GBI start looking for him.
I have it at 22.5.
Correct. That's what I have it at.
I really like it at 21.5.
You were trying to shave a point there.
No, but I was looking at it from the old Seth Emerson's article from The Athletic is a day old, which shows you where the points are on that spread.
That's where, yes. Chris is right. Go, but I'm with you, Mike. If you want to take it now.
All right. Well, lock me in, Chris. I prefer it. Matter of fact, I really wanted it yesterday when it was 21.5, so I would like it retroactively placed.
Give it to him at 22.
As a good bookie always says, you got to buy that hook.
Try that with your bookie. Well, I'd really like to buy it. I'd really like to get it at 21 and leverage that half point. But anyway, 22 it is, 22.
Now, I will say this, and we're having fun with this because this is what we do, guys. And yes, we do like to gamble. But the fact is, you've been on the dog, and they've not let you down, right? You've been on 3 weeks? Is it 3 weeks?
I bet them twice. I won. Oh, okay. I won the Vanderbilt game. They covered the spread in the first quarter, and I won the Arkansas game. I did not bet them. I didn't bet Arkansas. I bet the Auburn game. Check that. I won against Vandy and Auburn, and I'm going to take him this week. So, Chris, I'm locked in at 22? Good, because he just went up to 23 in Vegas.
I told you. See, I knew it was I thought it was 22.5. That's what I had saw.
Chris, you heard what your man said. It's 22, and it just went up to 23. It's 22.5 in some books. But thank you, Chris. 22 it is.
All right, man. Plenty more to get to.
Winning.
If you are not a believer that Kentucky is really good and you are just, you know what, it's Kentucky. Well, we're going to get the perspective of somebody that covers that team and knows them intimately. Anna Marie Tarullo is going to join us at 4 o'clock. But coming up next, the legendary Vince Dooley on Dukes and Bell.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, hope you're having a great day, man. It is a countdown to what's going to be an incredible weekend as we get the NLCS started with our Braves. Obviously, Georgia, number one in the country, taking on Kentucky. And we are lucky and privileged every week to get a chance to talk to Vince Dooley. I always say the legendary Vince Dooley is brought to you by Kroger. Kroger, delivery and free pickup. It's easier to get ready for tailgating. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Coach, good afternoon. How you feeling?
Good afternoon. Feeling all right, all things considered.
How does it feel to be number one? Not you personally, Coach, but Georgia football.
Well, we've been there before. And we stayed last time in 82, all during throughout the season until the last ball game in the Sugar Bowl. But I got a feeling this team might all fall into place.
Coach, what did you tell your team back then about being number one and handling that pressure of everybody's going to give you their best shot?
Well, I think it's I try to tell the team, this is your fault. It's not my fault. It's your fault because you've played so good. You're number one. So everybody you play wants to beat you. I said, that's human. So it's your fault, and you got to live up to it.
Last time Georgia was number one, it was a preseason poll back in 2008. But obviously, guys, last time they were number one in AP regular season, Coach just talked about it, was back with Herschel and company back in 1982. Coach, let's first talk about the Auburn game, about what you expected. Bo Nix made some plays, and Auburn, that first drive they put together, looked like they were going to have a long afternoon.
Well, they're a pretty good football team, so they came out, and Mike Bobo, who's of course, played quarterback here and was the offensive coordinator for a while, directed a good drive. And so they played well, but was great was to see Bennett once again when he gets the call to stand up. And he did a terrific job in leading the team to another victory. And the defense played great again, except they did give up a touchdown, of course.
Coach, you know, Bennett's, he's doing, I don't want to say doing just enough because he's doing more than that. I mean, he did it with his legs. He had the big scramble on third down or you know, the 30-yard gain. But he's not making mistakes, right? And as a coach, that's the biggest thing, isn't it? I mean, you want him to play great and you want him to make all the great throws, but he's not making mistakes.
Well, that's a great part of it. And I always say you got to learn first not to beat yourself before you learn to beat other people. And he has done that. And he's thrown the ball very well. I think we're running the ball, and it fits right in with him because it gives him great play-action pass opportunities, which we saw on the long touchdown pass. So, it looks like he's going to have to continue to take the load. I don't think that JT is quite ready to play again, hopefully for the following week. But he's just been Ben has just done a great job.
Yeah, and I know, Coach, that I got to be honest, Coach Smart, I think, like to take a page out of what, when he was an assistant, happened with Coach Saban, which is, I know the phrase game manager is kind of a taboo, but a quarterback who's not going to make too many mistakes can pick it up and put him down when you need the quarterback to be mobile. And to me, that reminds you of A.J. McCarron or McElroy. They won championships with in Alabama.
Well, they did, and kind of been the model quarterbacks that don't make mistakes and got good people around them and use them effectively. So Bennett appears to be somewhat like that. And of course, we got to have another game Saturday on what I found out is homecoming. Seems like we have homecoming every week because it's packed. It's packed and filled up, but this is looks like the best Kentucky team we've seen. I don't know. Somebody said the best record since 1950 was Bear Bryant when he went to the Sugar Bowl. They got some good players.
They do, Coach. And listen, Kentucky fans are fired up. They feel like this is their chance to come prove, obviously. I mean, they got to do it on the road, but to prove that, hey, they are in this conversation this season about being one of the better teams. You're absolutely right. And that's why I think the hype is real. and legitimate. I mean, I think they should be getting the attention along with what the Dogs are getting. We're talking to Coach Vince Dooley, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. I wanted to ask you about the running backs. You always were good about, you know, being able to have multiple backs, obviously, and use and utilize multiple backs. We're seeing Kirby do that as well. Does it matter if there's one dominant back, in your opinion, Coach?
Well, I think it's better off if you can have a committee of backs and they're all happy. And that's what it looks like to me. You know, they're willing to share. They're not unselfish. And it keeps them fresh in order to be one back in this day and time. You got to be a Herschel. And there are not too many of them like that. We don't see them sometimes stay that long in the pros. But you're better off with the committee. And if you've got good morale and they're all pulling for each other, which it looks like they are, then that's, I think, more ideal than just having the one super back.
Coach, how tough is it as Georgia's number one? Vince Dooley, by the way, brought you by Kroger here on Dukes and Bell. Coach, how tough is it to keep the guys from getting the big head? You know, and I think Kirby, obviously, much like Saban, much like you did, to try to keep reminding them that they're only mortal, but how do you keep the guys from not believing what they're reading in the paper?
Well, I think Kirby's done a good job in that respect, the way he answers about number one. He said it's just a number, and we all know as coaches that you've got to wait until you get into the final four to really determine who's going to be a number one at the end of the season. But if you don't be that way and you get your tail kicked, and maybe sometimes it might be good to get your tail kicked. Alabama might be a better football team now than what they have been because you've got the attention of the players and you've got the attention of the coaches, and I'm sure that Coach Saban has the attention of both of them. Well, I don't want to go through getting beat. We're getting too far into the season to get beat and to get our tails kicked and to learn a lesson. But I don't know. They have they've got a really a championship attitude as a team. Mm-hmm. Very unselfish, and they really have great morale and great compatibility. So, again, I like this team and hope it keeps going.
Yeah. Coach, I wanted to ask you about Derek. Derek is up with the Giants now. Is that right? Is that where he is?
Yeah. He's been up here. They have more dang on trouble. I talked to him today. He seems like they had seven people that were starters that are not capable of playing right now. So, he thought he'd go up there with his wife and have two or three fine years up in New York. And as soon as he got there, they closed it down. He had to leave. But in any event, that's where he is.
Okay.
I tried to talk about a coaching, but he's still into it.
Listen to your dad. So Derek Dooley is with the Giants, guys. I think he's the tight ends coach there. And he's talking about all the injuries they sustained last week. I think they're playing the Cowboys, and they're thin. There's no doubt. But coaching family, and that's what you get with Derek and following the footsteps of his dad. Coach, one last thing before we let you go. Where are you for this game? Are you at the game this weekend? You plan on being around, or are you going to be at home? What's going on?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm always at every home game, you know, because I know my way around Athens.
Right.
Right on the road. I don't know. Right. I don't know where I am. I'm looking at gate numbers and seat numbers and everything. So that's been my routine to go to ball games every Saturday.
So can I park in the driveway, Coach? We have tickets for Saturday. Would Barbara mind?
Yeah. Well, I usually go up to the bookstore and sign books, and she's got her own pass, okay. And I finally see her at the ball game and then see her back home.
All right.
Well, Coach, thank you again, as always. Go Dogs. Let's keep this thing going. It's brought to you by Kroger, guys. Delivery and free pickup. It's easy to get ready for tailgating. Fresh Kroger, fresh for everyone. Coach Dooley, have a great day. Thank you again.
Thank you. Go Kroger. Go Dawgs.
Thanks, Coach. Carl, I told you the time years ago we had a sponsor. It was a helicopter company. And the idea was to take a chopper out to Athens or take a chopper to, like, Clemson for games if you're a big baller. So they flew Pollock and I. We landed in the lot next to Dooley's house.
Crazy.
I don't think Coach was amused by the whole process, to be honest with you.
I'm sure he wasn't.
Kicked up a bit of a breeze.
By the way, I was just going to mention this, and it is an honor and a privilege. Guys, you go to Athens, you see his name, you know, on the field. Coach is 89.
Right.
And think
of all the fun we've had with Coach over the years now,
It's crazy. So I say that for those who are just maybe, you know, you never heard Coach, you're just joining us, or maybe you've been a dog for life or whatever. He's 89, and it's a privilege to have him on every week. Hey, man, coming up, we're going to see what's going on the Kentucky side. Mm. Anna Marie Tarullo. Big Blue tonight. She's one of the hosts.
By the way, can we get this out of the way? Are we going to do like the Anna Marie Tarullo? Oh!
I was actually thinking the Jason Tarullo.
We like to have fun with people whose names end in a vowel, or maybe not. We'll just play it by the numbers.
We can do it. Let's do it. All right, she's going to join us next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.